as we mentioned, one of the bright sparks from the opening three games was the Paul Zanoloni, Adam Kronos.
Yes.
And that brings us up to a possibly very short-lived section. Would you like to play a small game that I have invented?
Yes.
It's called... Right.
Please, is it called Kronos or Nonus?
It's called Could They Phone Us with Adam Kronos?
Fucking hell.
Right.
Is that actually what it's called?
Yep.
Is there a music that's going to come in, like, da-da-na-na-na-na, or something?
Hold on.
Oh, there we go. Okay,
yeah,
good.
There you go. Right. As we know, Adam Kronos is also the Greek personification of time. So...
I did know that, yes.
Yes. So, I'm going to give you three people from history... And you are going to have to say whether they could have phoned us.
This is worse than my Power League one. Oh, God. Let's go.
Okay, so basically, you were born in 1988?
I was born in 1988,
right,
yes.
Right, I'm older than you, so basically, it's just on you. Basically, does this person's life cross over with yours? Yeah?
Oh, okay. It's not like I thought it was like the time of the telephone. I was like, hope it's Alexander Graham Bell.
No. Basically, does their life cross over with yours? So had they known you, could they have phoned you?
Okay, good. All right.
Right. Right. Personage number one. Former Prime Minister Sir Alec Douglas Hume.
Oh,
could
okay.
he have phoned you with Adam Cronew?
He was Prime Minister in the 20s, 30s, was he? I'm going to say that he could not phone me. I'm banking on him dying in the 60s or 70s.
You've got your time periods completely wrong.
Oh, okay.
He was just before Wilson, I think.
Oh, okay. So he probably could have phoned me.
And yes, he could have phoned you. He died in 1995 at the age of 92.
He was a Tory, was he?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Too soon. Anyway.
Right. Could Ella Fitzgerald phone us with Adam Kronos?
Ella Fitzgerald. No, she was nowhere near alive. Or am I thinking of Billie Holiday? Uh-oh. Ah, no.
It's good this, isn't it?
People are going to say I'm a racist as well because I confused her with another black woman. No.
You're saying Ella Fitzgerald could not have phoned you?
No.
She absolutely could have. She died in 1996.
I'm going to go 0 for 3 here.
At the age of 79. Finally, film director Alfred Hitchcock.
Well, it's been wrong so far. One of them, you would think, in the balance of probability, is going to be a no. So I'm going to say that Alfred Hitchcock could not have phoned me. But could he have appeared in a clever cameo at some point?
You're saying no?
I'm saying no.
Bang on, he died 1980 at the age of 80.
1980 at the age of 80?
Yeah.
There we go.
So that was Could They Phone Us with Adam Kronos.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, that's... this is... I feel it's going to come back. I already have a feeling that this one is going to come back.
And with that in mind, would you like to play a lovely game?
Oh, yes, I would. David, what's the game called?
It's called Simon or Sally with Musa Ali.
Simon?
Right, here we go. Right.
I didn't think this would become a thing.
It's absolutely becoming a thing. Young Musa is, as we know, a massive fan of obscure pop culture. So he would like to know if I am describing here a Simon or a Sally. You've got three each.
God.
Oh, God.
Right.
Going to draw 0-0.
We'll start with Ben. I'm going to give you a surname and then a description, and you have to tell me if that person is a Simon or a Sally. Okay? Right.
Is he getting an easy one to start him off? Or is he going straight into it?
Yeah,
okay.
No, okay.
Oh, God. Don't say that, because now I'm like a right idiot when I get this wrong.
Right. Simon or Sally. Phillips, an actor, comedian, and TV presenter who competed in Series 5 of Taskmaster.
I've honestly no idea. But it sounds like a Sally.
1 point to Ben. Oh. Yes.
Comedian. She did Smack the Pony, I believe.
Let me Google her.
And she was in Bridget Jones's Diary as well.
Oh, was she?
She's been in a couple of things.
Yeah. I was just waiting for you to come up with Gunnel or something like that.
No, I wasn't going to be too obvious.
Yes.
All right, Sam.
Okay.
Your opener.
Mm-hmm.
Newcomb, a Canadian astronomer.
That is Simon Newcomb.
It is Simon Newcomb. Very good. There we go. That's 1-1.
Did he become a duke?
I'm never allowed back on here, am I? Never allowed back.
Can we have him on all the time? It just takes so much of the pressure off. Honestly, I can just sit here going, Sally. I can't believe we're playing this. I can't believe people are listening to this right now.
I don't think they will be for a lot longer. Ben, Nugent, a BBC breakfast news presenter.
I think it's Sally.
It is Sally. Yes, very good. That's 2-2. Sam, Brown, the younger sibling of Charlie Brown in the Peanuts comic series.
Ooh. All right, I'm going to just go with the mantra that usually when you have two children in a comic thing, one's a boy and one's a girl, so I'm going to say that is also a Sally.
That is excellent logic and completely spot on. Well done. And finally, Ben, the seal, the subject of a song on Ralph McTell's children's album, Alphabet Zoo. Which I have in my CD rack over there.
I'm going to say Simon.
And you would be wrong to say It's Sally.
Oh, so this one doesn't matter.
Yeah,
well, it's either going to be 2-2 or Sam's going to win it.
Desmond.
Okay. Sam.
He said... he got the first one right, didn't
Sam,
he?
Sam.
Curse you.
The Sorcerer. The title character of a cult point-and-click video game.
Ooh. So we're talking like early 90s sort of
Monkey Island
on your Amiga sort of thing. The Sorcerer.
Yes.
I think I know this one. I think it's because I think this is very. I think this is held in quite high acclaim. I think it's Simon the Sorcerer.
It is Simon the Sorcerer. 3-2. Voiced by Chris Barry from Red Dwarf. Oddly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good game. Good game.
Excellent game of Simon or Sally with Lisa Rally. Talking of him, I had actually prepared this before he did one. Would you like to play? Would you like to play Patton or Rommel with Martin Tommel?
Yes, please.
Right. Our now departed Saul Loney from Bohemians is, as we know, a big military history fan. But he'd like to know if these statements are describing George S. Patton or Erwin Rommel.
Oh dear, World War II, my favourite of the wars.
You ready?
I'm not sure. Patton or Rommel. These are just going to get progressively worse as the season goes on. I'm all for
it. Worst stroke, amazing.
Let's go.
All right, we'll start you with an easy one. He was known as the Desert Fox.
Oh God, that is Rommel, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Number two, he was described by Churchill as, quote, an extraordinarily bold and clever leader and, quote, a great field commander.
He might have... he was actually quite good at doing these things to Nazis as well, wasn't he, Churchill? I'll go for Rommel again.
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, he knew an adversary that knew what he was doing when he saw one, I think.
His Africa campaign was famous, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Then Monty kicked his arse, I think it was.
a combination of the two, I think. Oh, yeah. Number three, he studied fencing and designed a cavalry sabre that was issued to troops in World War One.
Sounds like Rommel again, but I think Rommel was a bit too young. Patton.
Bang on.
Okay.
Yep. Number four, he believed in reincarnation and reckoned he had lived former lives also as a soldier.
I think I've heard that before. I think this is where I drop the point, but I think it sounds like... I'm going to go Rommel.
You are dropping the point. It was it was George S. Patton. And finally, number five, his depiction by many authors and historians after the war gave rise to the, insert name here, myth, a possibly skewed interpretation of his character and style of command.
Patton.
No, the Rommel myth. Basically, because he was characterised as like the good Nazi. He was...
Professional soldier,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Like, you know, seen as like apolitical and just, yeah, he was just like very unsympathetic towards the Nazi leadership. He was originally part of the plot to assassinate Hitler. Not true.
Yeah.
But because he was seen as sort of, you know, sort of did everything by the book, you know, sort of British sense of fair play in a way. He was characterized as like the good Nazi, but yeah. Because of that, would you like to play a little game that I've devised?
I'm just settling.
All right.
Okay. Deep breath. What's the game called, David?
Well, it's time to play Come and Fetch Me with Dennis Granechny.
I'm somewhere where I don't know where I am.
Now... the Ostrovan fullback is, as we know, a lover of hiking and rambling through the Czech countryside. But occasionally, his sense of direction lets him down. Can he work out where Dennis is so the team bus can go and fetch him?
Oh, dear.
Right, I'm going to describe...
can I just say that there's big Sega Mega Drive homebrew written all over this?
So I'm going to describe sort of views and vistas as he's walking through five Czech towns. These are Czech towns that we have been to.
Okay.
They're not necessarily... we haven't necessarily been to them for the football, but we have been to all of them at some point.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
The first one will give you a very good idea. So, number one. Dennis is walking through the Podjí National Park when he finds himself in a town. From the church on top of the hill, he can look down into a steep river valley. The countryside is covered in vineyards, and after walking into town, he can see tourists emerging from catacombs underneath the town centre. To pass the time, he visits the Rotunda of St. Catherine and has a glass of wine on the gently sloping main square. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Is Dennis Granechny in Znojmo, David?
Dennis Granechny is in Znojmo. Okay, he was having a lovely time.
Right.
So that's how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just say for everyone listening at home, I am absolutely thrilled to have one on the board here because I think this is going to be a real strain.
Well, we'll see.
There's a rotunda.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I've been in that rotunda probably with you.
No.
Okay. That gives me a bit of hope.
Anyway.
Okay.
Number two, Dennis is hiking along the banks of the Elbe River when he happens upon a town. The first things he sees are a railway yard on the bend of the river and a huge rock face. On the opposite side of the river, he spots Trechov Castle. After some investigation, he discovers that Johann von Goethe, Karl Hinekmacher, and Richard Wagner have all stayed there. Pleased with this information, he heads to the brewery Na Richtia for a pint. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Dennis Granechny is in Ústí nad Labem.
He is. Okay. He is indeed. See? It's not that tricky.
That's a cracking brewery.
It is.
Good brewery.
Yeah, it's a very good brewery. Number three, Dennis finds himself in a beautiful town on a bend in the vault of a river. Walking downhill and over a bridge, he joins the hordes of tourists in waving to the people rafting down the river and over the weir. Oh, no. As a fan of Renaissance architecture, he's particularly taken with the castle and gardens on the clifftop. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
I might be wrong on this, but I would say that Dennis is in There's two in my mind. Hordes of tourists. I'll tell you, right, I'm in between Karlo Vivari and Český Krumlov.
Okay.
Did you say we have been together?
We have both been.
Oh, we have both been, yes. So not that. Okay, that's then... Okay. Isn't Chesky Krumlov?
He is.
Okay, good.
Right, number four. Dennis is walking from a fairly unattractive new town into an older part of wherever he is.
Right.
The town doesn't really look like anywhere he's been before, but there's a building he recognises from the James Bond film Casino Royale. Apt, really, because everywhere he goes, he hears a lot of Russian being spoken. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Now Dennis Konechny is in Karlovy
he
Valley.
He is, yes. You see, you have to choose quite distinctive-looking towns, because there are a lot of quite similar towns in this country, so you have to go for the kind of distinctive ones.
Yeah, no, I note that he hasn't been, you know, to Khrudim yet.
No, because I remember nothing about that town.
Dennis finds himself in a town with one football stadium, one pub with a slatted roof and nothing else. Where is Dennis? Dennis is in Vlashim.
Yeah.
Right. Nonsense stuff. All right.
Okay, finally, Dennis arrives at a railway station. He decides he needs to find the town centre, so he walks for about 15 minutes along what seems to be the main road into town. Once there, he chances upon the main square, and from there he follows a narrow, cobbled street to the castle, which, unlike in a lot of other towns, isn't on a hilltop, but just in a city park. He walks around St. Bartholomew's Church, walks through the Green Gate, and has a pint of beer from the brewery, which is simply named after the town. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Dennis is in Pardubice.
He is.
Nice.
I thought you might think that was Olomouc until we got to the town centre. Because
it was,
they're similar ideas.
It was windy. It was white. It was windy. Cobbled. It was cobbled. That was the thing.
Yeah, windy cobbles. Yeah.
I enjoyed
that.
There
you go. 5 out of 5, though.
It's just bragging about nice places that we've gone to have pints, really. It's
pretty
good.
Yeah, basically, yeah. But the one good thing for him is that there is a lovely game that I have devised to play if you'd like to indulge me.
What's the name of the game?
Let's play The Best of Bon Jovi with Martin Novi.
I just like Bon Jovi.
You're not a fan of Bon Jovi?
I'm not a huge fan.
No, nor am I, really.
Bon Jovi.
But
so.
Our fullback is, as we know, a big fan of stadium hair metal. So he wants to know, are these songs by Bon Jovi or are they not by Bon Jovi? You're going to get 5 song titles. They're all real song titles.
Did Bon Jovi do Living on a Prayer? Was that them?
Yes.
Is it Living on a Prayer?
No.
Oh, okay.
These are 5 genuine song titles. I haven't made any up.
Okay.
So you just have to say, are they by Bon Jovi or not by Bon Jovi?
Oh, they did You Give Love a Bad Name as well, didn't they?
That is not on the list, but yes,
I didn't think it would be because I think I've just named 2 of their very famous songs.
Yes, you have. Right, number 1, Running with the Devil.
That feels very much like that sort of thing. Did they really go into that sort of devil sort of stuff, though?
Well, that's the thing. That's the question.
Because Running with the Devil, to me, sounds like stuff like something like AC/DC or something like that would do. So I will say that that's not a Bon Jovi song.
You're bang on. Apart from not AC/DC, it was Van Halen, but your logic was spot on.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they were very kind of, you know, your mum would like, you know, Bon Jovi stadium rock, you know what I mean?
Soft. What I believe what people used to refer to is that what people used to refer to as cock rock.
No, cock rock is like Motley Crue.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, dreadful.
Motley Crue.
Yeah, Poison. Okay. That sort of thing.
Oh God.
Right, number 2, Captain Crash and the Beauty Queen from Mars.
Now that seems more like it because that seems like they've done some sort of concept record or something. And that song is absolutely, I don't know whoever did it, but that song is absolutely over 5 minutes long. I'll say that is a Bon Jovi song.
You're absolutely bang on. I thought that would catch you out because that sounds very much like a sort of Elton John failed project. But yeah.
It feels like people that keep long hair in bands and wear cut off denim jackets, that they would have an idea going, you know what would be great?
Yeah, let's extend this into a 90-minute double disc concept album.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's Captain Crash and and the Beauty Queen from Mars, and then Captain Crash Reprise is the last track.
Yeah.
All right, number three, Something for the Pain.
Oh, that could be anyone, though. That's the problem. Mm. That could be anyone. I will say that Something for the Pain. Would this be... Didn't Bon Jovi come back later and start doing very soft, rocky, poppy things that talked about feelings and stuff like that? I'll say it's a feeling song, but is it... But okay, and I'm going to say it's by... I'm going to say it's not by Bon Jovi.
It is by Bon Jovi.
Oh, I was really on the fence.
Yeah. Number four.
Who did it?
Bon Jovi.
Oh, it is, yeah. I'm just...
right, number four, Someday I'll Be Saturday Night.
Oof.
You see, they're all good, like, crap stadium rock titles, aren't they?
I was going to say that that's a Tom Waits song, but it's not. That's called The Heart of Saturday Night. There tends to be a couple in a row in these quiz. I'll say it is.
I'm feeling like a Monday, but someday I'll be Saturday night. It is Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow. Did you have to listen to that song?
No. The first CD I ever bought, and this is why I said so it's very much a mum band thing.
Uh-huh.
The first ever CD I was bought when I got my little, you know, CD, like, boombox player when I was a kid, was The Best of Bon Jovi, bought purely so my mum could listen to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't have your mum down as a Bon Jovi fan.
It's good driving and singing along music,
which
she likes. So, yeah. And finally, number five, The Best of My Love.
Again, it could be anyone. It could be anyone. Like, this is, you know how I think a lot of people get Bon Jovi and Aerosmith mixed up because
Bon Jovi are far better than Aerosmith.
I mean, I think they're both woe. I'll say it's not. I'll say it's an Aerosmith song.
It's not an Aerosmith song. It is a very famous song. It's by the Eagles.
Oh, okay. Another band that I just do not care about at all.
No, they're crap. So that was The Best of Bon Jovi with Martin Novi. Are you happy you played that? I mean, sensing not.
I mean, I'll be honest. The it feels like we've reached some sort of apex.
There's a much better one coming next week.
Oh dear.
Oh, there's a belter coming next time. You know, Endel was unlucky to score that second goal, but it means I have come up with a lovely quiz. Do you want to play a lovely quiz?
What's the quiz called?
It's called Commuting from Kendal with Lukas Endel.
David, all right, yeah. David, Kendal, as in Kendal in...
Mint Cake.
Yes, in Cumbria.
Yeah.
The Lake District.
Lukas Endel's long-term plan is, as we know, to retire to a lovely house in Kendal on the southern edge of the Lake District. However, he also wants to see a bit of the UK as well. So he wants to know if he could drive to these places from his house in Kendal in under 2 hours.
Oh, bloody hell. I have one request.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to, before we even start, have a look at Kendal on the map of the UK so I have a general idea of where it is?
Yes, that seems fair. Let's do that. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Happy?
Yes, I've put the phone down.
Okay. Right. Lukas would like to see some football. Could he get to Brunton Park, home of Carlisle United, in under 2 hours?
You would assume yes, because it's also in Cumbria.
That's a 100% success. Yes, he could. Yeah.
Good.
These are all looking up directions of driving on Google Maps, okay, by the way. Yeah. So.
I suppose he'd also get to Deepdale as well, because it's halfway between the two.
Yeah, probably.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
He'd love to see the statue of Laurel and Hardy in Ulverston, the birthplace of Stan Laurel. Could he drive there in under 2 hours?
Ulverston. Is that in Yorkshire? Actually, you'd give it away if you told me.
I would, yeah.
Because I was going to say, is it not near Morecambe? But then obviously, no, I'm thinking of Morecambe and Wise.
it's a different double act.
I guess guess he could be in West Yorkshire. No, I'm going to say... Right, I think it's maybe in a southern bit of Yorkshire. For some reason, I could be totally wrong here, I have this understanding that he's probably from somewhere in Yorkshire, so I'll say no.
You're wrong. He could very much get to Ulverston. Ulverston is also in Cumbria.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean...
It's where my granddad was born, on the same street as Stan Laurel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What time in this quiz do I get to pull the I'm Scottish and have no idea of your people's geography
card?
Oh no, he's going to go to bloody Tweeddale or something, isn't he?
He's planning on eloping with a local girl. Could he drive to Gretna Green in under 2 hours?
Of course he's getting Gretna. Yes, he could, surely.
Yes, he could, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite happily under, yeah.
Because that's, I mean, just as a aside from that, like, especially in the days of failed experiments, Gretna FC, and then some of the other teams like around that sort of, that part of the world, like Annan Athletic, and to an extent mm-hmm. even Dumfries, there's been quite a lot of movement between, like, ex-Carlisle players to, right. to that sort okay. of part of the country before.
All right. Number four, he loves the early 2000s indie band Kaiser Chiefs. Could he make a pilgrimage to Leeds in under 2 hours?
Well... If I'm to be consistent with my thought process for the second one where I thought that Stan Laurel was from some part of Yorkshire. Actually, this is the thing as well. Like, I don't know much about English geography, but I'm told that going between, you know, like the east and the west of the countries, especially by road and things like that, is an absolute pain in the arse. So I would say...
A fairly significant range of hills in the way.
I believe, yes. I believe there is a Pennines.
Yes.
Is it? So why is there a horse in the Pennine suite? so, surely no. This will be the no.
Yes, 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Oh, that's close.
In fact, yeah.
Oh, that's close. Was this in your car? Can I clarify?
No,
or was this a normal car?
No, this is Google Maps standard car.
Okay, standard car.
They're only standard car.
Is this how I got, like, because I can't drive. Is this if I ever want to start driving, do I go into one of these dealerships and say, can I have a standard
one
car?
One standard car. Standard actually used to be a car company.
Really?
So you'd get something from the 50s. Made in Coventry, probably, actually, yeah.
I'm not you.
right, number five. Mm-hmm. He'd also like to visit Belfast, taking his standard car with him. Could he drive to the ferry terminal at Stranraer in under 2 hours?
Stranraer?
Stranraer?
In Scotland? this is a tough one, because also... notorious pain in the arse place to mm-hmm. get to is Stranraer, because I would suppose you have to go all the way up through Cumbria, then you get to the borders.
Yeah, you have to turn left.
Yes, well, yeah, you're going to have to go through like Wigtonshire and stuff, which is surprisingly mm-hmm. long. The roads aren't great. Go on, I'll say no.
Absolutely right. It's
nice.
Something like 3 hours, 18 minutes really? Or something. Yeah. So
it's I'm told it's a trek.
Yeah, it's a fair hack, as you say, along like pain in the arse, sort of nothing roads as well.
Apparently, a good place to watch football.
Really,
Stair Park.
Stair Park.
But I've never been to Stranraer. Hmm. So
well, there you go.
I've also never been to Belfast. So there you go.
But it did give him time to have a quiz put together about him. So that was quite good fun. So before we go any further, let's play All Sorts of Jets with Martin Berkovets. Jets.
Ooh.
There you go. As you're contractually obliged to do at this point. We've done that joke a lot.
That, yeah. Every time I think a corner's being turned.
yeah, and not just with the team, with this limping format. But no, this is, you know.
It's only half a season to go, listen.
Yeah. Our number one is, as we know, a big fan of anything to do with jet propulsion, but he'd like to expand his knowledge of all other things known as jets. So, question one. Which city's NHL team is called the Jets? Liam will know this because it's his
NHL?
Yes. National Hocking.
Because is there not a hand egg team called the New York Jets?
There is a hand.
Oh, egg. I know. Is it okay? Back to Winnipeg.
Certainly is.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. It is.
Question two: the word "jet" is from the French verb "jeter," itself from the Latin "jactare." Uh-huh. But what does that verb mean?
Is it one of the? No, I don't know. Is it that wee thing that you get at the end of a pier? is it to propel?
Can you be a little bit more specific?
Propel forward.
How?
By force.
Coming from?
The rear.
No. You're sort of in the right direction, but it's a very specific type of...
Sure. I will happily drop a point for that one.
Throw.
To throw?
Yes, to throw.
Oh, so it's not really propel at all.
He propels it. If you throw it, you're propelling it forward, aren't you?
I don't know. Would you
say... Using the potential energy in your muscles?
You said he propelled the javelin? Would you... Threw the javelin?
Yes. But it was propelled using his arm, I suppose. Anyway.
Question three.
Jet was one of the original gladiators from ITV's popular Saturday evening show. But in what year was Gladiators first aired? You can have a year either way.
That's such a good question. My initial thought was 1991, but I think that's too late. Went on for about 3 or 4 years.
Went on for a long time.
Come a gladiator,
You know,
did Ulrika Johnson present it at one point?
Her and John Fashanu were the original presenters. It went on for so long, they had to bring in a secondary cast of gladiators because the original, what were they, like 6 or 7 or 8, was knackered.
Wolf, Jet, Shadow, like you said, Rhino.
Lightning, Hunter, they were all of them.
I think I'm going to get this one really wrong. I'm just, for the sake of it, going to say 1988.
You should have gone 91.
Oh, was it actually 91?
It was 1992, but you would have been in the year either way.
So. Yeah. Mm. Oh, I'll be honest, everything was a blur back then, seeing as in 1992 I was 4. So.
Well, yes. Question number 4. The distinctly average Australian band Jet were formed in Melbourne, Australia, but which Australian state is Melbourne in?
Oh, that's really good. Right. Sydney's in New South Wales.
Yes.
Melbourne then, is Melbourne in? No, because Victoria's to the north. No, Queensland is to the north. Oh, I want to say it's Victoria or Queensland. And I know how this quiz works, David, because I will say, here are the two options I'm working with, and I will always go with the one that's wrong. New South Wales.
It's Victoria.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
just, you know.
Yeah, Queensland's, is it Darwin, I think, is Queensland?
Darwin is the Northern Territory.
Sorry, it's Northern Territories, yeah.
Is that Brisbane?
Might be Brisbane. Yeah, and then you've got...
Where Kylie's from.
And then, obviously, you've got Sydney, New South Wales. Melbourne, Victoria, Adelaide, Southern Australia, Perth, Western Australia.
And Hobart.
In Tassie. Yeah, there you go. And finally, question 5. The Jets are one of the street gangs in the musical West Side Story. What's the name of their rival gang?
Benny and the Jets. No, the Jet, the Sharks, is it?
Yes, very good. Yeah, okay. The Sharks.
They click their fingers at each other because that's how gangs work.
It certainly is in 50s musical theatre.
I'll be honest, David, when you said that it was around about Jets, I was terrified because I know nothing about physics or how things work.
Which is why I made it all kinds of Jets with Martin Berkovets.